Shall we pray?
Father, we thank you for the privilege of having your word, reading it, listening to it. But we pray your Spirit would reveal the truth in it to us this morning. In Christ's name. Amen. I'm sure you could picture this scene today. A celebrity steps out of the car in the middle of Cambridge, completely unannounced and certainly without the police being aware. And suddenly there's a great rush as mothers that do coffee, academics, students, tourists from Japan, and a whole host of other shoppers, recognising who the person is, want to touch them and get a selfie. It wasn't too dissimilar here in Luke, as people from far and wide rush to touch Jesus, get from him healing, forgiveness, or a better life. Let's face it, that's what motivates many people today. If I become a Christian, what can I get? The unspoken expectation is that the benefits are free, without cost. Seldom, if ever, has anyone asked me, what does it cost to be a disciple of Jesus? In the midst of all this hubbub, Jesus turns to his disciples and begins to speak a series of beatitudes or blessings that point to a lifestyle and a mindset that was all but completely at odds with what most people were at that very moment seeking to get from Jesus. Here, Jesus turns our hopes, dreams, and expectations of what success means upside down. Who, after all, seeks poverty, hunger, and tears? What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? Remember that most of the crowd following Jesus are Jews. Those who, if they knew nothing else, knew they were the people of God. As the church, we are the people of God. We need now to hear these words for ourselves. Even in the church, many will go astray in order to avoid being hated, excluded, mocked, and cursed as evil for following God's word. Jesus continues, "Be happy, yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way." The current conflicts within the Church of England, Wales, and Scotland are because men want their reward now, to have a reputation among those who say that man is king. When, as human beings, we determine our own path, we put ourselves before God. We create God in our image. When we do that, we fail to heed the warning of Jesus, which he gave in his Sermon on the Mount. "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." There's a difference between being intelligent and sophisticated people and those who also have the humility to submit to God's laws. In an instant culture where it would seem that with men all things are possible, there is a growing demand for heaven now and to deny any future hope of a new creation and a new kingdom. C.S. Lewis calls pain God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Seeking a pain-free life is to remain anesthetized to the purposes of God. Pain is part of our lives as Christians. It won't go away. In fact, Lewis calls it a gift that leads us to reconciliation with God. If we die daily, as the Apostle Paul suggested, we should realise that pain most certainly is involved. Even more than pain not going away is the promise we have that God will neither leave us nor forsake us. Lewis acknowledges this tension in his book, The Problem of Pain. Let me read you a little. The problem of reconciling human suffering with the existence of a God who loves is only insoluble so long as we attach a trivial meaning to the word love and look on things as if man were the centre of them. Man is not the centre. God does not exist for the sake of man. Man does not exist for his own sake. And Lewis quotes Revelation 4:11, "Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." He continues, "We were not made primarily that we may love God, though we were made to do that too, but that God may love us, that we may become objects in which the divine love may rest well pleased." Jesus continues, "What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds for their ancestors also praised false prophets." With these words, Jesus also warns what awaits those whose goal is gratification of desire and avoidance of pain. Looking to the book of Hebrews, we find this call to faithfulness in chapter 3. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house, if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the midst of our church, which seems to be denying your word, and rather than taking its shape from it, is conforming to the desires of this age, help us to hear the words of Jesus, to have confidence in them, and recognize that to follow Jesus, which was of great cost to him, may also come at great cost to us. As the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him, through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.